These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe, like vintage-style tees, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
John Gibbons, for the last word on the environment, you are not going to critique Coldplay's music for us, but I am asking you to audit their environmental claims. Because let's just let people know, firstly, Coldplay have made a thing about that they're balancing their carbon footprint when on tour.
That's right, Matt. Good evening. Yeah, the first thing I'd say is that they've taken a fair bit of stick over this because, of course, as soon as a band start going down this route, they're opening themselves up to the knockers, let's say. And let's get it out of the way up front, right? Coldplay still use private jets. So that's a big, huge red mark in the column. So they're very much aware of that. And it's interesting, Chris Martin, I think it was back in 2019, he was asked about this, you know, reconciling his green views and the whole business of touring, which is a very carbon-intensive thing. And he kind of said he didn't have an answer and basically took the band off the road, as in they didn't tour for a number of years. Now, I know there was COVID in the middle of that, but they chose not to tour until he said he could figure it out. So basically, they've kind of come back now saying, okay, we've had to think about this and we believe that we can be approaching carbon neutrality. So they've taken a number of steps, Matt, to do this. For example, they have what they call a comprehensive sustainability strategy. So the key thing they're trying to do is to drive down carbon emissions right throughout the process. So they claim so far to have achieved about a 59% reduction in emissions. It's a combination of using renewable energy, of sustainable travel, but for other people, obviously not themselves, and things like efficient stage design and so on. So they've also done a few things that are maybe a little more dodge. I'll walk you through them briefly. They have 7 million people attending their concerts in the tour. So for every person they claim who attends, they claim to plant a tree on that person's behalf.
Surely that's a good thing, isn't it?
It sounds good, but of course you don't really plant trees. You plant saplings, right? Tiny little things. And we, you know,
sort of small saplings, great trees grow?
They may do. And some of them may, in fact, survive to adulthood. So I guess the reason I'm slightly skeptical, Matt, of course we should plant more trees, but it has been shown around the world that tree planting as a carbon offset is very fraught. For example, in the States, the trees they keep planting for carbon offsets for companies like Microsoft and Apple, they keep burning down, right? So in a heating world...
Why do they keep turning down?
They keep burning down because in a heating world, we're getting more and more wildfires.
Well, we'll get to that later.
We will indeed, yeah. So basically, there's certain steps you can take, like tree planting, that you might find boomerang on you. So that's another thing.
Surely it's better than nothing. Well, I mean, given the amount of trees that have been cut down and given how important trees are to carbon capture, surely anybody who's planting trees is better than nothing.
Again, I agree up to a point, as long as it isn't sort of, you know, deflecting you away from the business of, you know, reduction. For example, if an airliner is planting trees and claiming to carbon offset, you know that's nonsense. Now, I think a band like Coldplay, and I think it's important to balance things up here, this isn't really a popular play for them to do this. As I say, they get an awful amount of abuse for it. So I think I have to give them credit. I believe they're sincere in doing this. And I think the thing they want to do most of all is to say, look, it is really difficult to be carbon neutral. And we know that. It's super difficult. And he's made it, he's been very upfront and said, look, we've tried all kinds of things. We've brought in consultants. We've asked the public for ideas. We've looked at things. We're looking at sustainable merchandise. They use these LED things, for example. And I think something like 86% of them were recycled after each concert, which means rather than producing new junk, you're using it from concert to concert. So the critical thing, Matt, here is that, number one, it is not easy being green. They have acknowledged that. they know it's a whole bunch of work. And it isn't just a stunt, you know, a sort of a Dublin Airport Authority style stunt that you can do on one day, send out a press release and it's done. It's something you really have to work at. And I think the key thing for me out of Coldplay's efforts here is, number one, here we are sitting talking about it. And number two, they're trying to educate not just the public about this, but also other bands, to say to them, look, guys, you know, we're among the world's privileged elite. We're rich. We travel a lot. We have a responsibility on a shared planet to do better. So I'll give them 7, maybe 8 out of 10 on that front.
Okay, there's lots of messages coming in from listeners. Coldplay have, I think, 70 tour trucks and 40 tour buses out there. That's global warming for you, says that listener. Another one says, Coldplay sure aren't green or yellow. They're big time beige. Okay, that's more of a comment about the musical that I think that they do. Another listener says, in fairness to Coldplay, they have a carbon footprint calculator on their app. They advise people to take public transport and ask people to only to go to gigs in their own locality. Problem with that is because a rip-off Ireland is sometimes cheaper to go to see a band in a different country. And how many trees will Oasis be planting? I say Oasis are definitely in the pull-up trees category. So things like energy-efficient stage design. The stage show apparently is the big thing. The stage is powered apparently by a combination of solar energy, kinetic floors and power bikes.
That's right. Now, for those who haven't come across it, a kinetic floor basically harnesses the movement of everybody jumping up and down to generate a little bit of electricity. Now, the other one they have, which is kind of hilarious, are what they call power bikes. These are basically bicycles, static bicycles connected up to a generator. Now, sorry to break it to Chris Martin, but if a fit adult going at full whack gets onto one of these bikes and it's connected to a generator, the most energy you can produce at a given time, Matt, is about 100 watts. Remember the old 100 watt light bulb? That is the entire output of an adult human, right, at any given time. And you can only maintain that for a few minutes. So if you're, you know, doing a concert running into megawatts of energy, which you probably are, a few guys on a bike aren't going to make a huge amount of difference. But I think, again, a lot of this is about making statements that sustainability matters. It's a difficult journey, but they're trying to show you how to get there.
Okay, sustainable merchandise, apparently, as well. All merchandise for the tour is designed to be sustainable, incorporating organic materials and recycled fabrics. So that probably means expensive t-shirts, does it?
It probably does. But I think what they're trying to get away from is the cheap, nasty plastic throwaway merch that is an absolute scourge. This is the really, really low-grade stuff that is made, usually starts out life in China, assembled from components from God knows where, shipped across the world, maybe shipped from China to America, then from America to Europe, then from Europe to Ireland, and so on and so forth. So vast amounts of embedded carbon, Matt, as we hawk this garbage around the world. And so much of it, by the way, has an active or useful life that can be counted sometimes in hours and sometimes in minutes. So I think a move towards less merch and the stuff that you are doing, make it better quality.
Okay, listener says, advising the fans to take public transport and then using private jets themselves is total hypocrisy. Should Coldplay travel commercial? Okay. Rather than a private jet.
Number one, yes, they should. Or maybe they could borrow Taylor Swift's jet if she's not using it. She seems to lend it out. But seriously, of course they should. Now, the difficulty for bands like this, first of all, I suppose, is that their schedules bring them around maybe in a way that is difficult to square sometimes with commercial aviation. Also, there's issues, I suppose, about privacy, etc., etc. These guys, particularly Chris Martin, obviously very well known, apart from when he's trying to attract attention down in Grafton Street now, but maybe getting onto a Ryanair flight and fending off somebody trying to sell him lottery tickets isn't how he wants to travel from place to place. But joking apart, yes, the private jet thing is a big problem. We have a lot of commercial jets and we really need to cut out the private jets.
Okay, let's just get a couple of other things in the time that we've left us. Tell us about the wildfires in Canada last year and the carbon emissions from those.
Yeah, 2023 was a pretty amazing year for wildfires, a record-shattering year, as they called it. They reckon the equivalent of about 10 years of greenhouse gas emissions were dumped into the atmosphere as a result of it. In total, we're looking at about 8.5 billion tonnes of carbon released from wildfires, Matt, last year. Now, to put that in context, that's about twice the entire output of carbon output of the United States of America. So this is massive. This is one of what they call the positive feedbacks of climate change, that as we heat the planet, all those trees we were talking about that Coldplay are trying to plant, they're going up in flames. We're getting more and more intense wildfires. The wildfire season is getting longer. Of course, we've always had wildfires, but the wildfire season is getting longer. It's getting more intense. We're seeing this right around the world. And I suppose, for example, to break down that particular wildlife season, we know, for example, that human impacts increased the likelihood of fires on that scale in Canada times 3, in Amazonia times 20, and in Greece times 2. So when you put this, when you multiply this around the world, you're getting huge impacts. And a really scary thing, Matt, from my point of view, looking and reading into this stuff, is that we're now seeing that wetlands and even rainforests are becoming susceptible to burning out. That's a really terrifying thought, that even the rainforests, which of course produce their own rain systems, and traditionally rainforests have been impervious, even at they're located in the tropics, in areas of high temperature, but the moisture and the humidity protects them from burning out. But once a rainforest begins to dry, it'll burn quickly.
One final thing. US oil giant ExxonMobil has predicted that global oil demand in 2050 will be the same or even slightly higher than current levels, which means efforts to reach net zero carbon emissions by the mid-century are just far out of reach. Doesn't this make sense in some respects, given population growth, that there'll be such a need for energy that even if you keep having fossil fuel alternatives, they won't be able to keep up with the demand, and that means there will be a role, continuing role for oil?
If we continue to burn energy like there's no tomorrow, if we continue to waste it in all kinds of areas like transport, like aviation, like oversized vehicles, like badly heated homes, we will continue to need oil. That's for sure. The renewable transition is happening. It's happening quickly, but not quickly enough. I think it's really important to stress, Matt, that Exxon are not a good faith player in this. This organization, this company, has been the world's leading climate denial organization. Over the last 30 years, they have spent hundreds of millions putting out disinformation about climate. They have known, their scientists have known about global warming. They've had scientific research into this going back to the 1960s and 1970s. They suppressed that scientific research, and they have instead flooded the channels, flooded media channels with climate disinformation. They have been found out on this. They have been sued, and they're currently being sued by various environmental organizations around the world. But I see this as kind of Custer's last stand. This is really the oil industry engaged in massive wishful thinking. We know for certain, and I'll quote you the International Energy Agency, right? This is the global overseer for this sector. What the IEA are saying is that in order to get even remotely close to our Paris commitments on climate, we've got to reduce oil production by 75% by the year 2050. So what ExxonMobil are saying basically is, we don't give a damn, and divil take the hindmost.
Thank you very much, John Gibbons.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.